Wow.
I love being covered in prayer. So in first service, I don't know how many of you know Debbie, but she was just all during worship. She had this picture, and she saw this person. They were like with their head bowed, and right over their head, there was this golden ticket. And she felt like what God was saying is that there's something here to take away, where it's like there's a golden ticket like available to you, and it's like access into walking into a new place. So God's got this golden ticket like available. So thank you. We're just praying for our ears to be open and to be able to hear all that God says. So let's do something for a moment because Pastor Tim and JJ and Sherry are actually all away, and they would love to hear from you guys. So if we could just, we're going to raise our voices really loud, and we'll say, hi, Pastor Tim. Hi, Pastor JJ. Hi, Pastor Sherry. And just so they can hear us. You guys ready? 3, 2, 1. Hi, Pastor Tim. Hi, Pastor JJ. Hi, Pastor Sherry. We love you guys. Can't wait for you to get back. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the helmet of salvation. We've been in this series called Dress to Kill for the last 3 weeks. Man, that's a powerful saying, dress to kill. But there's a purpose behind it. Like, we don't wrestle against one another, but we wrestle against spiritual forces. You guys are so cozy right now. It's amazing. Oh, so our first week in this, sorry, it's like squirrel. Greg talked about the belt of truth, and he talked about our identity, and that it's not found in what we do and what we have and what others say about us, but it's found in Jesus. And he told the story about Jacob and how he wrestled with God, and in that wrestling that God touched his rib and he renamed Jacob. And it's so it was like this idea that we need to wrestle with God to get our identity and get that solid in us. And if we don't have it, like if these things start to define us, we're going to become vulnerable to the enemy. All right? And then last week, Pastor Tim talked about the breastplate of righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because we've been made the righteousness, we live out righteousness. And so Pastor Tim, he had talked about, you know, like things like unforgiveness or, you know, bitterness or anger or these things that are issues of the heart, that we need to deal with those or else we're going to become vulnerable with the enemy. Today, we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. So if you guys can turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and starting in verse 10, and we're going to read this. All right, here we go. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so just like the breastplate of righteousness is made to protect our heart, so the helmet of salvation is made to protect our head. It's where our brain is, right? So it's made to protect the way that we think about ourselves. And when you think about this word salvation, so we're not, like, salvation can mean so many things. It can mean deliverance, saved, healed, redeemed, restored. Like, all these things are a picture of salvation. But what the Bible says in Luke 2, 28 through 32, so Jesus is born, and they're fulfilling, like, the Jewish customs, and they're bringing him to the temple. And when they bring him into the temple, Simeon, who's one of the priests there, he takes Jesus up into his arms, and he's like, oh my gosh, now your servant can depart in peace because I've seen your salvation. So when we talk about salvation, we're not so much talking about deliverance or being saved, but we're talking about the person who does those things, and that's Jesus. And so for us, I feel like our question really is, when we wear this helmet of salvation, what does that mean? And I just really believe that that is allowing all that Jesus has done for us, all that he has accomplished, to truly rule and reign the way that we think about ourselves. All right? Do you guys got that? Okay. So what I want us to do is I want us to look at Romans, okay? Romans chapter 6. And this chapter, like, literally has transformed my life and just the way that I myself think. So I'm excited to read this. All right, so starting in verse 2. You guys ready? All right. So Paul is answering this question, you know, and he says, by no means, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the same way. And what this really means here when it says count yourselves, it's really saying, think of yourself this way. Think of yourself dead to sin and alive to God, walking in newness of life. Because that's what it says. It says our old self was crucified with him. And now we get to walk in newness of life. And I know, like, for us, you know, I know I've had, like, some questions, and people will say, well, you know, Jason, like, what about, you know, like, sanctification? Like, isn't that God, like, rooting out, like, everything that's wrong with us in our lives and, you know, working on that? And if we're dead to sin, then, you know, what is this idea of him, like, doing that in this process of sanctification? Let's take a look at what sanctification is. And this really opened my eyes when I read it in John chapter 17. And I know this is a lot of scripture right at the start, but I'm going to bring it all together, hopefully, for us. All right? So it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. For them, Jesus says, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We know Jesus was sinless, right? He didn't ever sin. But yet, in this passage, Jesus says, I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. What is he saying? And do you guys remember that scene in the Garden of Gethsemane? And Jesus is saying, you know, Lord, if you will, let this cup pass from me. But yet not my will, but your will be done. Right? This idea of sanctification, Jesus became obedient to death on a cross. He's like, God, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. But yet, not my will, but your will be done. You know, and then it goes on, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, right? But it started in this place where Jesus was learning to become obedient. And so for us, that's this work of sanctification, is learning to become obedient. It's like, so we're dead to all the old stuff. We're raised to walk in newness of life. And now this process of sanctification is saying yes to God. How can I live for you? You know, what is it, God, that you're teaching me? What is it that you're asking me to do? That's what I want to live in. You guys get that? It's a big concept. And I know, like, because, so I struggled, you know, I've struggled with addiction myself, and I've struggled with things that were hard. And this is what the enemy does to us when we're tempted, is he'll come, because he's the tempter, right? And we'll feel pulled by it, by something. He's like, hey, here's this. You know you want it. Come on. You know, and you're like, you know, you kind of feel pulled by it. And the minute that you even feel like remotely kind of pulled by it, he points the finger and he's like, uh-huh, you're bad. See, I told you, because you really want that, don't you? And he starts telling you that, like, you're bad because, oh, I see. Like, you see, you're feeling like a little bit pulled by that. You must be wrong. You must be bad. It's you. But he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one tempting us. Just because you feel a little bit pulled by that doesn't mean that you are that sinful person. Because Jesus is saying, hey, all this old stuff, I've taken it away. I've taken it away, and now you're walking in newness of life. So when this comes to you and you feel like a little bit pulled by it, you can be like, oh, you know what? Actually, I'm dead to that, and I'm alive to Jesus. Since I'm alive to Jesus, I'm going to look to him and see what he wants me to do. It's this idea that enables us to actually walk in righteousness. Do you guys, like, if you ever read through any of the Gospels, Ephesians, Colossians, any of these, Romans, they always start out where, you know, Paul or whoever's writing them, he'll always speak identity first over someone. He'll say, you are all these things, now live like this. You are all these things, now walk this way. That's why we have to have this mindset here. We have to make this distinction that, you know what, I have permission to think that all of this old stuff is gone and it's dead and it's buried, and I have permission to think this way because that will enable me to actually walk in righteousness. That's good, right? That's good. Amen. Woo! All right, Jesus. So, fun story for you guys. Lacey and I were out at Fun Spot yesterday, and we were having a great time with Ada and playing a bunch of games. And I really wanted to play Deal or No Deal, which, do any of you guys know what that game is? Oh, yeah, it's a fun thing. Is anybody here not know what it is? Okay, so there's a few. All right. Well, so there's all these suitcases, and they have different dollar amounts in them. And the goal is to, you know, basically get the most money you can from the show. But you pick a suitcase, and that one's yours. And then all these other ones are up on this, you know, stage. And you slowly, like, select them, and they open them. And they reveal different dollar amounts. And the goal is to try to get low numbers. Because the lower numbers you get, right, then, like, the more, like, the banker's going to try to offer you to stop playing the game. All right? And so we were watching this happen. There was this little four-year-old. He was playing the game with his parents. And you know, it would come to like the banker, you know, would make him a deal to like, like stop playing the game. And he would always be like, no deal. And he'd hit the button and he'd like press it and he'd keep on playing. And it was just like the cutest thing in the world. And for us, like, I really think like that's a picture of like Jesus has given us, you know, so many things in salvation. And it's like, that's our box, right? Like, and then like the enemy will come around and he'll like tempt us and he'll try to get us to settle for less. He'll try to make deals with us. Hey, just compromise yourself, settle for this little bit. And we have to be able to hit that buzzer and be like, no deal, you know? Oh, Jesus, you're so good. I love you, Jesus. So I really want to take us through the story of Israel. And they had been in slavery for almost 430 years. Well, it was 430 years. And the Bible talks about, and it says that they actually had a broken spirit, that when Moses came to them and said, hey, this is what God wants to do for you, that they couldn't even receive it because of their harsh treatment and harsh labor and harsh punishment. So it's found over in Exodus. Let's turn there. We're going to take a look at this story here for a little bit. It's in Exodus 6, and it's verse 6. And God says this to Moses, excuse me. He says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Like I said, that word discouragement, like it literally, it's like talking about like they had a broken spirit, like their mind thought lack because of their years of harsh punishment, harsh treatment. I mean, golly, if I were in slavery for 430 years, I would be in that same spot, right? So even though they can't receive what God is saying, God still delivers them, right? And he brings them out of Egypt, and they even like plunder the Egyptians, and they're rejoicing and they're celebrating. And then God, he's leading them, and he leads them to this position where it looks like they're kind of like almost like wandering in the wilderness, because God has this plan that he wants to harden Pharaoh's heart to come after them again, because he wants to make it so that the Israelites can watch those who oppress them just be buried by the sea and destroyed and never seen again. Because he's trying to break that broken spirit. He's trying to break that broken mind. He's trying to correct, to repair. And so over here in chapter 14, they're led in, they're in this position where now they're like right up against the sea and Pharaoh's coming after them. Right? And they're like crying out. They're like, you know, like it would have been better, you know, if we would have stayed in Egypt and like stayed there as slaves. Now we're going to die out in the desert. But what does Moses say? In verse 13, it says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You know, there are two battles that we have to fight to gain our freedom. There is one that the Lord totally does for us, and all we have to do is be still, and all we have to do is receive it. And that's what he does through the work of the cross, right? Jesus fights our battles for us. He destroys the power of sin. He destroys the power of death, right? And so that's not a battle that we can fight, but that's the battle that he fights for us. Now, this second battle, because we are in a second battle, we already read it in Ephesians that we're battling against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, you know, and that's why we have to have this helmet of salvation, right? And so this second battle, it's like, how do we fight this? How do we fight this battle? And I love this in verse 15 when it says, "Then the Lord says to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on.'" I love that when it says move on, because like that's what God is asking us to do. Stop thinking old way. Stop thinking old self. Start thinking alive to God and move on. That's what he's saying. And then he says to Moses, he goes, "Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And I love the picture of this staff here because this staff is really symbolic of identification. And it's saying, I am really like under the authority of, or I am under the identity of. So God gives Moses this staff and saying, Moses is like, I am under the authority of God. I am under the identity of God. And God's saying, take your staff, take your authority, take your identity, and stretch it out over the waters. And it's in that act of stretching it out over the waters that the wind starts to move. The wind starts to blow, and those waters start to part, right? And then the Israelites can pass through. And it's like, I feel like this is what God is asking us to do. Let's leave all of this behind. Let's pick up our identity. Let's stretch it out over those things that we feel like we struggle with, those things that are impossible. You know, those addictions and that other stuff. God's saying, you don't have to think of yourselves as slaves to those things anymore. Because addiction, it's so brutal. Like, it leaves you feeling completely powerless. Like, you can't do anything to help yourself. You can't do anything to change it. It leaves you broken. And you've got a broken spirit, and you don't know what to do. And, like, God is giving you permission to say, hey, you don't have to think that way anymore. You don't have to think lack. You can look this way. And you can consider yourself alive to God. And as you do that, I'm going to work with you to teach you how to walk in righteousness. It's so beautiful watching Lacey up here singing. You know, she's sitting on her little cushion with her little pregnant belly. And pretty soon, you know, little Josiah is going to come out. And he's totally going to be our son. But he's going to be learning sonship, you know. He isn't going to come out of the womb and be like, hi, mommy. Hi, daddy. How's it going? It was really fun in there. Like, he's not going to come out talking. He's going to have to learn how to do that. He's not going to come out walking. He's going to have to learn how to do that. This idea of us walking in newness of life, being born again, leaving all the old and being alive to God, it's like, you know, we become like these newborn little babies. And, you know, we have to drink that pure spiritual milk. We have to eat that pure spiritual food, right? And then we slowly start to grow up into full maturity. We don't start out being fully mature. You know, but a lot of people, like, they mistake this idea of, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Jesus, help me. But that's it. Is just we just have to allow ourselves to grow up in that. It's not instantaneous. It's a process, right? But it begins by thinking differently. And one of the ways that we really think differently is this idea of repentance. So to wear our helmet of salvation is to live in a place of repentance. Repentance literally means to change the way you think. So stop thinking old. Stop thinking my struggles, my battles with sin, my battles with that. Start thinking alive to God, alive to righteousness. The other form of repentance in the Hebrew actually talks about correcting and repairing. And I believe that's what God wants to do for some of us here today. Like, we've been stuck. But what he wants to do is he wants to reform and change the way that we think. He wants to correct it so that he can repair us and set us on the right path so that we don't have to be slaves anymore to this, but we can really be set free. This is what it means to wear the helmet of salvation, is that we don't have to get stuck with all that old stuff anymore. Isn't that good news? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. I'm tired. You know how your brain starts to go and you get tired? You're like, oh, what was I thinking? I'm like it's not there anymore. Greg, if you want to come, we're gonna get ready to wrap up here. Do you guys get it? Amen? Good. It's good news. We get to leave all that old stuff be behind. How many have things that they want to leave behind this morning? Amen. And so then the question for us is, okay, God, what is it that you have me walking towards? And really, that has to deal with what you're leaving behind. So maybe if you're leaving behind anger, then, like, God's going to be teaching you peace. You know? But let's figure that out. Let's ask that question. What am I leaving behind, and what am I walking towards? And, you know, that's what Paul talked about. Like, Paul used to be, like, you know, he considered himself to be the worst of sinners. But he said to himself, all that stuff, like, I have to not think about it, and I have to press on towards the goal, towards the prize that I have in Christ Jesus. And then the other thing I love is there's this picture in the New Testament, or versus the Old Testament to the New. So in the Old Testament, everything was about sin. It was about do not touch, do not eat, don't do this, don't do that. La, 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 la. So the focus was all on the old man and all on that stuff. Now in the New Testament, Jesus is saying, you don't have to focus on fixing this. You can just leave that behind, and you can now just focus on Jesus. And you can focus on learning righteousness. And that's what we have because of the cross. Amen? All right, let's stand together. A lot of you guys raised your hands that you had stuff that you're going to leave in the grave. So let's do this. Let's hold out our hands, all right? Let's picture that thing that we want to leave behind today. All right? You guys got that thing pictured? And Father, we just thank you that in Jesus we are completely new. We are new in you, and we get to leave this old stuff behind. And so this thing that we have in our hand right now, we just toss it down. That's right. We just toss it down. We are leaving it. That is buried. It is dead. It is done. It is finished. And now, Jesus, we're receiving your righteousness. We're receiving that new life that you have for us to walk in. And we just thank you so much for it, God. We thank you so much for it. we're going to have, I'm gonna pray for you guys and just bless you guys and send you out of here. But after that, if you still want prayer, there's going to be prayer team available. We'll have some prayer team up here. We'll have some prayer team in back. If you want more prayer, we would be honored to pray with you. All right? But why don't you guys just stretch your hands out here, and I'm going to send you out with a blessing. Father, I thank you for this church body. They're just so awesome. They're so wonderful, beautiful people. Thank you that you call us saints. Thank you that you call us righteousness. Thank you that you call us beloved, that we are yours. And God, that you've set it up that we don't have to think old anymore, but now we get to think new and we get to walk in it. God, thank you that we don't have to work on our old stuff anymore, but we get to work on our new stuff. And so I just bless them. I say they are the head and not the tail, and to go and be fruitful in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. There's going to be more people available for prayer. Woo!